Welcome to episode 109 of the Own Your Genius podcast. It is the last second Monday of the year. So you know what that means. Murray's Law. And the last Murray's Law of 2022. We've been doing this pretty consistently. And I like it. I think we tried to figure out like what works for us. You know, do we do it weekly? Do we do it bi-weekly? Monthly works for us. I know that my people have very busy schedules, and push come to shove, they will watch the replay or listen to the podcast. We are trying a new platform today, and this platform is Teams. Listen, so let me tell you, so when you come to these lives, you know, you get to learn a little bit about me, a little bit. So I'm going to tell you, short story. When I was in college, my floor mates, not my suite mates, but my floor mates, it was like a bunch of us on the floor, we were all cool. For some reason, we were addicted to the Players Club, and we watched it like daily for at least 2 months. I don't know why, but I've been on the hunt for just trying to run things more efficiently and make sure that I'm not spending any money that I don't need to spend. So this quote, you know, like, what does Players Club have to do with anything? So if you all have watched Players Club, you can let me know in the comments if you want to. You don't want anyone to know, that's fine. But I have watched it. I haven't watched it in a long time. But back then, we were watching it all the time. I have no idea why we do the things as college students. Anywho, there's this line. And you let me know if you know this line. Ronnie is talking to Diamond. Everybody can't go to college, right? Some of us got to use what we got to get what we want. So what does that have to do with this? I wanted a more efficient way to run this webinar, right? And I didn't want to have to use any additional money if I didn't have to. So I was using Zoom, and it's fine. But then I found out that Teams, Microsoft, has started offering webinar capabilities. And it works out because I use Office 365 in my business. So for the one price, I get document sharing, I get Outlook for my email, I get Word and all those things there. I have Teams, which acts like a Slack, and then now they do webinar and live events. Like, listen, all that is in my subscription, and I pay $65 for three team members. Listen, all I'm saying is go back and do an accounting of all your software and see what you're not using efficiently. Right now, I am using what I got to get what I want. So that's why we're using Teams. We're gonna try this thing out and see how it works. Right now, I think it's working just fine. But we're gathered here because all of us use social media. And if we're on social media, we have all the gurus and our coaches and everyone saying that you have to be present on social media. You need to do TikToks. You need to do Instagram Reels because they give you more reach and this, that, and the other. But what they're not telling you is that when you're using these platforms, and when you're using these resources, you can be setting yourself up for failure if you don't know the law, right? And I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about when I say set yourself up for failure. Warner Music has sued London cosmetic brand Iconic over unlicensed social media videos. They used 165 songs on IG and TikTok. 165. And then we have Bang, which is an energy drink company. They have been sued by three, not one, not two, but three major music labels for the same thing, unlicensed music. They use 286 songs, or they have 286 videos. And the kicker with Bang is it's not just a company. They also hired influencers to create videos. And those influencers use music in their videos. And now the company is liable for the infringement that the influence committed by using unlicensed music. And you're like, oh my goodness, like how, why, why is this? And the thing is, when you set up these accounts, you're able to set up a personal account and you're able to set up a business account. And a lot of people, they're like, oh yes, I can use a business account and then I can get all these analytics. And then you start to try to use music and you're like, wait a minute. This music is trash. Like, I don't have the capability to, like, I can't use all the trending stuff. So then you go and do either switch your account from business to personal, or you find another way to upload that music. And you can't do that because they have that for a reason, because if you're doing it for personal use, that's one thing you might be able to. And we're going to get into fair use in a little bit. But a lot of these companies, these labels, have an agreement with these platforms that their music can be used for non-business accounts. So when you go and you turn your personal account to a business account, you're actually violating some of the rules, and then thus committing copyright infringement. Well, Kanye, it's only like 30 seconds or 15 seconds, or now they give you up to 3 minutes, right? But if you're doing videos, especially if you're doing them for, like, you're running ads, they say that the best way to do that is like 15-second clips. So you're like, oh, I'm only using 15 seconds of this, so what's the problem? Let's get into some copyrights for you. So I think we, as a society, take, like, creativity and the arts for granted. We're like, oh, this music sounds so great. I just want to do what I want to do with it. That picture looks so beautiful. I just want to do what I want to do with it. I want to share it. I want to put it on the pitch. I want to put it on a t-shirt. I just want to hug it and love it. As the owner of the copyright, you have 6 exclusive rights. So those six rights are: you have the right to reproduce your, whether it's your, first of all, let's back it up a little, like a U-Haul truck. So let's back it up. Copyright. So copyrights protect original work that are in a fixed, tangible form. Original work of authorship in a fixed, tangible form, right? So it has to be original. Original does not mean copied. It has to be, the author is the person that gets the protection. And in this case, the author is the person that brings the idea to life, not the person that has the idea. Meaning, when you hire someone to create your logo for you, and you say, hey, I want you to make it look like a star with moons all around it, that's the idea. But the person that's actually bringing that idea to life is the person that owns the copyright, because they're the author. And they're putting it in a fixed, tangible form. So when it's in your head and you're like, oh, I want a logo with stars and moons, or I want copy, you know, as business owners, we love our copywriters, don't we? We need a copy so we can speak to our audience and put it on our website and our sales and our emails and things of that nature. And when we're hiring them to create this, right, they own the rights to it, because they're the person that's putting it in that fixed, tangible form. They're taking it out of your head and they're putting it on paper or in the, you know, computer, you know, just typing it out in some type of way. So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about copyrights. And so the owner of that copyright, and it looks like, for business owners, it looks like we just talked about your copy for your website. It looks like this broadcast, you know, this recording is going to make it in a fixed, tangible form. And then I have my script here, so it's out in writing. It looks like your podcast, your course, your books, your workbooks, your curriculum for whatever you're creating for your signature offer. That's what copyrights look like from a business side. It looks like your pictures, your logos. It looks like the music that you're playing in your videos. All those things are protected by copyrights. And that author, that person that brings that to life, has 6 rights. And I do this when I go grocery shopping too, because when I say 6 rights, now that helps me remember what those rights are. I know that it's not 1 or 2, it's 6. And if I don't know, it's like a memory thing. So the first right is reproduce. The person that owns the copyright has the right to reproduce that work. They can make copies, all the copies that they want, but you can't. Derivatives. Derivatives is just like an adaptation, meaning like if you take a book and turn it into a movie, the author of that book has the right to say whether or not that book can be turned into a movie. You have to go to the person that owns that copyright and say, hey, we love that work so much, we'd like to, you know, turn it into a film. And I always tell my clients who are, you know, working with publishing companies just to, you know, check the fine print of the contracts, because sometimes those contracts will have derivative rights transferred to the publishing company and not to the author. So you just got to kind of check your contracts for that. The author also has the right to distribute that work. You can say where it goes and where it doesn't go. They have the right to perform it. They have the right to display it, and they have the right to transmit it digitally. So those are all the rights that the author has as the owner of the copyright. If you want those rights, meaning if you hire someone to produce something that's protected by copyright, you need something in writing to transfer those rights to you, or else you will not have them. Just because you pay for it does not mean you own it. And I'm sure there's an episode on that, you know, about that. But just because you pay for it doesn't mean you own it. The only exception to that, so because someone will say, oh, well, work for hire. Work for hire scope is so limited. Everything is not a work for hire. Unless it is an employee doing the work in the scope of employment. No, most of the times that the work for hire exceptions don't apply to us as business owner. Are you getting a map drawn? Or you can, you know, like it's different thing. Like they're not even relevant to what we do as business owners. So no, it's not a work for hire. Even though you are hiring someone to do the work, it's not a work for hire as far as the copyright is concerned. So make sure you use language in your contracts, your written contracts, that assigns those rights to you if you want them. Because if you don't, and I had to find the episode, there's an episode where we talked about the bakery out of New Orleans who was getting screwed by their designer because of this copyright. They didn't have the rights transferred over to them. Instead, the company decided to license it to them and take a commission of their sales. And when they decided they didn't want them to do the website or anything anymore, they were like, well, that's fine, go ahead, but we own your trademark now, which is not how that works, by the way. But they had this whole big ordeal and lawsuit because they didn't have those rights assigned to them in the beginning. But those rights are very, very powerful. Those rights give the owner the right to actually make money off of their creative works, off of the art that we enjoy every single day. So back to what we're talking about as far as the social media is concerned, right? So we're talking about social media and how now we're doing videos and it's really popular, especially when they first came out, the videos were, you know, songs and dancing and doing all the things. And now people are using those songs and they're doing like product placement, or sometimes you can't even hear the music. They're just using it for the algorithm. But you have to be careful because those companies have the right to say who can and cannot reproduce that music, who can display, perform, distribute those music, those songs. And so we have to be careful. And so I want to just get into, and let me know, like I said, if you have any questions. We do have a Q&A section. And if you have any comments, you know, just let me know. But what we're going to get into for the latter part of this is fair use, because a lot of people will say, well, it's fair use, so there shouldn't be a problem, right? But what is fair use? You know, fair use is an exception to these copyright permissions that we just talked about, where those things that we talked about, those six rights that the owners have, if you want to use those rights and you're not the copyright owner, you have to go to the copyright owner to get permission to use those rights unless it falls under some exception. And fair use is one of those exceptions that people love, love, love to say, hey, this is fair use, this is fair use. And a lot of times, especially as small business owners, we say it's fair use just because we have a small audience. But just because you have a small audience doesn't make it fair use. So fair use essentially says that, hey, under these few exceptions, you don't have to get permission to do what you're going to do. But the permission, so it's a four and a, again, with the numbers. So we have six copyright permissions. We have four tests, like four factors that they're going to look at, four considerations that they're going to look at. And they have to balance all four to determine whether or not there's fair use. So fair use is typically, and we'll just start with the first one, the purpose and the character of the use. Like, why are you using this music anyway? What's the purpose of this? And so right off the bat, if it's for a commercial purpose, nope. Like they don't look at that very favorably. Typically nonprofits and universities, you know, they can use it because education, there is an exception for education. But you can use it, the purpose, for criticism, commentary, which is why you have all these think pieces out here. Now anytime someone drops a song or something, they do a think piece or commentary on it as a way to kind of go around the copyrights. News reporting. Teaching, and that teaching is limited. It's not like what I'm doing now, right? It's teaching at the university, like a nonprofit place. Scholarship, research. Basically, things that make you go, right? and you want to dig more into it. So you're dissecting it and commentating on it and just exploring the piece a little bit more. Those are purposes that are allowed under fair use. Now remember, there are four factors, and with those four factors, it's a balancing test, because you can have commentary, right? But, and I'll get down to the rest of them, but if you don't have, if the other factors outweigh it, then you may not have fair use. So then the other thing they're going to look at is like, what's the nature of the copyrighted work? Is it published or if it's unpublished? Meaning, because they say that if it's unpublished, they're going to, it's going to weigh more on the copyright owner side, because they say that the copyright owner has the right to decide when this goes out, you know, first publication date. That's why you have a big thing about albums being leaked. You know, that was a big thing. You guys remember Napstar, you know, albums would drop on Friday, but Napstar would have it like on Wednesday or Thursday. And now they're out of business because they end up having to pay a whole lot of money for copyright infringement. So they look at that. And then they also look at things like art and music. Those, if you're in one of those two categories, that's going to be way more favorably for the copyright owner. Things like nonfiction works, not so much. But those other creative things, such as, you know, arts and music, that's going to be weighed a little more heavily in favor of the copyright owner. The third factor that they're going to look at is, like, how much of the work are you using? And people get this. Matter of fact, Beyonce got this. She got this. She got in trouble for this because she was sued by, and now I can't remember, Macy Myers' estate. And I have another blog posted something about this, where she was sued because she used maybe like an 8 to 10 second clip of the voice, and the state sued. And her defense was, oh, well, we only use a small portion of it. And so what she wanted to do was just have the case totally dismissed off of summary judgment. And summary judgment is essentially when there's no dispute of the facts. You have to write it up, write a memorandum, or write a brief, and you lay out the facts. You're like, these are the facts. There's no question to these facts. And because of the facts, you apply the law to these facts, and this is what the outcome should be. So she was saying that these are the facts, you know, this is the person, this is how much we used, blah, 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 blah. This is how long our video was altogether. And because of that, we believe we have a fair use. This should be dismissed because of fair use. And the judge was essentially like, you can't. And the judge said that it doesn't matter. Like, the fact that you only used 8 seconds isn't enough for me to determine whether or not there's fair use. So she lost that summary judgment hearing, and the case had to go to court, go to trial. So when it talks about the amount that you're using, they want to know the substance of it, right? Is it the meat or the heart of the work? And an alternative, maybe, you know, there's a 700-page book, right? And you take, like, 3 pages of it. But you take those 3 pages and you turn it into an essay. Maybe even just a paragraph. But you take that paragraph and it's your entire essay. So that's the substance, you know, the substance part of it. So when we're talking about these videos, yes, it's a 15-second audio. But what are you using that audio for? Is that audio, like, is that 15 seconds, the entire video, the entire clip? Are you marketing the entire time trying to get your message across? That's what they're looking at when you're talking about the amount or the substance of the part that's used. So it's not necessarily, it's not a exact science. And all of this, like I said, they're balancing all of this. So, and when it comes to fair use, oh my gosh, you're just, and your outcome, your verdict is really going to depend on the court you're in or the judge that you have, because it is subjective. It can be subjective. Some things now, like this, these cases are not subjective. This, and I'm going to tell you why. We're going to get into this fourth reason. The fourth reason just puts the hammer in the coffin. Nope, that's not right. The nail in the coffin. That's it. The nail in the coffin. So the fourth one is the effect of the use on the potential market. And what that essentially means is, how is this affecting the copyright owners? Like, if they sell, if it's something that they sell, right? Or in this case, license. And now you didn't get the license. Like, was there an opportunity for you to go to this copyright owner and give them money for permission? Yes. Yes, there was. Because music, that's one way that music companies make their money. It's through licensing. Which is why they have this limited deal with these platforms that Yes, you can use these songs, but only for personal accounts, only for these reasons. And that's what gets everyone. So essentially, long story short is this. If you're using the IG and the TikTok for commercial purposes, and commercial does not always mean you're running an ad. You're promoting your business. That's why we have business pages while we're on there promoting our business. And if you're promoting your business using these non-licensed sounds, you could be setting yourself up for failure. So the best thing to do is get a license. If you're not gonna get a license, use the alternative music. Use the music that they give you. And yes, it's not as popular, but we as business owners, we have a different standard than just lay people. And then the question becomes, now, there's a thin line, I guess you would say, between like what's commercial and what's influencing. Like, why am I getting these, because you have people who aren't selling products, but they're using this and they're getting a lot of people on their account and viewing their page by using this music, and then they use turning around and doing other things. So all of that is going to be looked at, I feel like, a lot more in the upcoming years because of the popularity of it. Oh, there was a question. Is it better to stay a personal comment or business? Do you mean like account? Is that what you're asking? Is it better to stay as a personal account? Okay, first question. So, is it better to use a personal account or business account? If you are promoting your business, use a business account because that business account is going to give you all the analytics and things that you need. I wouldn't suggest that you use your personal account just so that you can have access to the music that you're not supposed to have access to because you're using it for commercial purposes. And then the next question is, what if the music was recorded at an event and you post the video, but you don't use the audio from the social media options? Oh, same difference. Like, even if you're not using, like, going in there and using the music that's on the platform, or even if you're using uploading that music on your own, which is what other people are doing with the business account, they're keeping the business account, but then they're uploading the music on their own, but they don't have a license to upload that music. Now, if the music is just in the, like, if it's not the primary focus, like, for instance, like, Kim, you're an event planner, right? So if you're showing the event and the DJ just happens to be playing music, but you're not there for the music, you're just showing off your work and the function and everybody having fun, that's going to be something that they're going to consider. We can't say for a fact that, oh yes, that's fair use, because again, depends on the court and the judge. I remember Prince having issues with this too, and in that case, I think they did find it fair use for a woman. It was like music playing, and her kid was like dancing to music, and she was just recorded her kid dancing, and it wasn't really about the music. Like, the kid was, this was like kind of like in the beginning of all this, let's post everything on social media. And Prince was like, because you know how Prince is about his stuff. He's like, wait a minute, that's my song. So he wanted to cut it out. But they was like, oh, it's fair use. So it doesn't matter if the audio is from the social media platform, but the intent is the music. What we're focused on is the music itself, and if you have a license to use that music. And so we're talking about music. I go one step further and say even some of the sounds. So some of the sounds where you have people, like short clips of people saying like quirky things, and we're doing that. I don't even know. I feel like it's what's the man's name from American Idol, Simon Cowell. He had this clip. It sounds like him anyway. And I have a clip of me using that audio, but I wanted to run an ad, and I was like, I can't run an ad using this audio because I don't have permission from the network to do so. So I didn't. No more questions. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Let's see. Oh, yes. Kim was saying that she needs to go through. Yes, please do an audit of your software. And you use Teams on your 9 to 5. I love Teams. Like, I love Teams. I love Office 365. A lot of people are using Google, but first of all, Microsoft has been here a lot longer. Second of all, because I use it, I own their stocks, and their stocks, even with everybody else dipping, it's still paying me good. So, yes, I'm going to continue using the market. And I love how everything connects, even our CRM, which we do pay a little bit more for our CRM, but that, like, it all works together and it makes my heart super happy. So, like Ronnie said, you got to use what you got to get what you want. All right. You have a good evening.